Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great morning. Thanks for waking up with us live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. Coming up on this midweek edition, we begin with baseball. Game 4, Blue Jays and Dodgers last night from La La Land, Toronto, tying things up. In 20 minutes, the NFL suddenly has a serious issue with the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to tell you why. And finally, we dip into my streaming corner at 6:40 and find out what we've been watching. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I almost texted the group chat last night that we had a big night at our household. Okay. We did the Texas Roadhouse family feast once again. Oh. Blake's school was doing a thing where Texas Roadhouse would give back like 10% to their school if you ordered that night. Mm-hmm. So, of course, pull my leg, we'll do the family feast. Because I have settled on this. Not much in life you can control, but you can control giving your family amazing food every single night. So we're going to try to focus on that.
Can I just say, I was thinking about it, and I didn't want to put it out there haphazardly. I think you're the best mom ever. Best wife ever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Texas Roadhouse. What else do you need? Let everything else just fall into place. You set that as the cornerstone of your being the lead of this family. You say, here it is, Texas Roadhouse. We got the rolls. Everybody's going to get fed. Let the chips fall where they may. I've done my job. You guys have a great night. See you later.
Because that's what the family wants. Yeah. Like, they don't want homemade meals every night.
No.
They want good food. So we're going to have like 15 rolls apiece. We're going to have a bunch of sides. We're going to have our sirloins that I don't know how good a quality they are, but they were still very good. Because that's the thing. At the end of the day, like, you just want something good sometimes. So we sat around the dinner table. We watched the World Series. It was a great night.
That sounds awesome. Like, Mom, homemade pasta. We're going to have sides tonight from Texas Roadhouse. Come on. Come on. What are we doing here? Wow, that does sound like a great night. And you got a great game, so we're going to talk about that as well. First, let's talk about our bets.
Yeah, so bearing the lead here, Den just swept the board with some plus money plays. I guess I'll recap my push. Womp womp. All right, so Blue Jays Dodgers over 8 was my best bet. Thought that both teams would get the bats going. Only the Blue Jays really did. But Den, get on in here, brother.
Yeah, man.
What about these bets?
I mean, really a swing and miss on my part, guys, for not parlaying this entire thing and not putting my entire savings on this entire three bets that I made yesterday. I would have came in with jewelry. Actually, I wouldn't have come into work. I would have been so rich. I would. I've been riding off into the sunset. So I had Vladdy Jr. over 1.5 bases. He did that pretty easily. He went 2-for-4 at a homer. So that was pretty easy. I kind of felt like he was going to homer last night, but I wanted to play it safe with the over 1.5 bases. And then I just took the Blue Jays on the money line, or first five money line, I should say. I was like, I think they're going to get after them hot. They went effectively an entire game without scoring in extras in game number 3, so I felt like they were going to come out swinging away, and they did. And then I just fade the Wizards whenever I get an opportunity to fade the Wizards. I love them dearly, but man, if they're going to suck my pockets, might as well get fatter because of it.
I love that they go to overtime and the Wizards score like the first 6 points, 9 points of overtime, and then still lose, and the Sixers still cover. That's just the Wizards being the Wizards. Nice night. Well done. Donk sure know about yesterday. He'll have something tonight. So for the week, Chelsea, you are 0-1-1. I'm 1-2. Denton, 3-0 in the Darkster 0-1 here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. It is great to have you with us on a Wednesday. Let's get it going. Last night, Game 4 of the World Series in Los Angeles. The Jays down the Dodgers 6-2. The Jays plus 155 on the money line. Total set at 8. We get a push. Shohei Ohtani gets the start not long after the Dodgers won that 18-inning marathon in Game 3. But Vladdy Jr. was ready for him in the top of the third.
Warning for the 19th in Yamamoto. There's a fly ball to deep left center field. Headed back there. It is gone! Vlad Jr. gives the Jays the lead.
Vladdy goes 2-for-4, including that moonshot. Addison Barger with two hits and an RBI. On the mound for the Blue Jays, Shane Bieber gets the start, goes 5 1/3, allows just one run, strikes out 3. Jays get 4 more runs in the 7th, and we've got a series.
Field. Line drive left field, Miles Straw puts it away. And the Blue Jays have tied this series up. After the gut-wrenching loss last night that might have just wiped a lesser team off, the Blue Jays bounce back and win it 6-2.
And isn't that really the key? The Jays could have completely faltered after Game 3 and been totally dejected, and this was a response, Chelsea.
Yeah, this was a massive win for the Blue Jays from a mentality standpoint to come back from that gut punch of a loss in 18 innings, and then you have to face Ohtani and this $321 million team. And you say, who cares about the Dodgers? We're the Blue Jays. We are the hottest hitting team in the postseason, averaging more than 6 runs a game. Because doesn't that feel like that's been the case, is that everybody counts out the Blue Jays and they just keep saying, maybe they're the better team, but we're the hotter team. We're the team with more momentum, and we're the team that has the face of our franchise absolutely raking. Vladdy Jr. hitting over 400 for the postseason. He had the big home run in this one. So it's just one of those things where we throw around this phrase, and we have been doing it the whole postseason, where we ask, who's the team of destiny? Jenks, does it feel like the Blue Jays are the team of destiny?
I don't want to say that. Just because, didn't I call the Mariners a team of destiny like 2.5 weeks ago?
It felt like it.
It did feel like it.
It wasn't a bad take.
It wasn't a terrible take. They felt like it. I kind of wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're a team of destiny, but they are a team with a lot of heart. Let's put it that way. And I love that Vladdy Jr. was talking after this game about the team's response. And he was the one who led this response. That's what I love about it. He said after Game 3, they play 18 innings. And, of course, everyone is dejected. And Vladdy Jr. goes into the clubhouse. He said, I was the last one in. And I go, hey, it's 4 games. You have to win 4 games to win the World Series. This thing is not over. So let's go. He said everyone had their heads down, like, okay, we've lost. It's 4 games, and so it's not surprising to me, and it's appropriate that he comes out and he's the one that gets these guys on the board and then leads them to victory, because he was the one who inspired them in the first place. They needed this, but it was Vladdy Jr. saying, let's keep our heads right. This thing is not over by a long shot.
Yeah, and that's what a true MVP does.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the MVP market just yesterday, and some of the odds on Vladdy Jr., boy, have they shortened.
Oh.
So he was 10-1 entering last night. And here's the thing, like, he's not sneaking up on people. Even with these odds of 10-1, again, he was hitting over 400 for the postseason as a whole going into last night. And he's the face of the franchise for the Blue Jays. It's just, I think a lot of people have counted the Blue Jays out and say, well, the Blue Jays aren't going to win this series. What have we seen all series long is that these two teams feel extremely well matched. And it feels like if there's anybody who can outslug the Dodgers, it's the Blue Jays. So now Vladdy Jr. only plus 290 to win MVP. It is looking better and better as the days go on.
It sure is. And you know what? Let's give some credit to Shane Bieber as well. Former Cy Young winner. We know that. That's why the Blue Jays brought him in. So in a clutch moment, and he's from Orange County as well. So, obviously, he wanted this game, but he really wanted it because he's from this area. He goes out. He was great. So, 5 1/3 from him, and we'll focus on Vladdy. I get that. But this is exactly why you say we got to have a vet who can come out and get it done at a big spot, and he did.
Right, in back-to-back games, they've had guys who have a little volatility attached to them. You look at Max Scherzer the game before. He did well enough to keep the Blue Jays in the game. And then you have Shane Bieber, who basically outpitched Ohtani in this situation and pitched to the best lineup in baseball, at least on paper, and shut him down. So Shane Bieber, worth every bit of what the Blue Jays traded for him. You know, midseason, he was their big trade deadline acquisition. And this had to feel good for him because he's had some up and down moments in this postseason.
Yeah, he really has. I wanted to ask you this since you had the Blue Jays in the first five. So was part of this bet, and I'm just speculating, I have no idea, based on the fact that Shohei might be tired a little bit?
It was, but it was more so on the Blue Jays being too young and dumb to realize they're supposed to be tired after playing 18 innings the night before.
Yeah.
Chelsea and I talked about how one of the guys was sleeping on a couch literally the day before game one of the World Series.
Addison Barger.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're great. They're a really good team, obviously, but they're so young that they aren't aware that, oh, my back is supposed to be a little sore right now after playing two baseball games.
I'm playing in the World Series tomorrow. Time for me to find a futon as soon as I can. Like, no, don't do that. The biggest game on the planet or biggest series on the planet. What are you doing? And also on the flip side here, the Dodgers' bats just didn't come alive, Chelsea. They only had 6 hits in this game. So Shohei was okay on the mound, not great. 4 runs over 6 innings, but also he didn't get much run support. I feel like no matter what, the Dodgers were going to lose this game if they weren't able to hit Bieber and the rest of the Blue Jays staff, and they just weren't able to.
Yeah, this is not the Milwaukee Brewers. You're going to have to score some runs to beat the Blue Jays because this lineup is just so good. So it's one of those things where you look at the lineup for the Dodgers and statistically, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, this is a lineup that should be scoring runs every single game. It should be the best lineup in all of baseball based on money.
Yeah.
Because you have back-to-back-to-back Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers when it comes to the top of your lineup. But we have seen some of these guys go cold. Like, I know you look at Ohtani, and he got on base 9 times the night before. So maybe we don't point the finger. I'm like, he hasn't contributed. He was also pitching in this game. But it feels like Mookie Betts has not had a great World Series. And, you know, some of these other guys who normally produce just have not had the clutch hits in the big moment. So they're going to have to score more than 2 runs if they plan on beating the Blue Jays.
So tonight we get game 5. Dodgers laying $2.10. Blue Jays plus 170, total set at 8. We get Trey Savage and Blake Snell in a rematch of game 1. Do you have a lean early? I don't want to get the full handicap. We're going to talk about it later on in the show, but you going back to the well with the Dodgers here, or are you riding the Blue Jays momentum? I just need like a sneak peek.
I think I'm going to go with a player prop here. Like the way that Vladdy Jr. is seeing the ball, it feels like he's seeing it like a beach ball. So I feel like you got to look at least at some of his hits, run, RBI props.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe look at somebody for the Dodgers as well. It's just Trey Savage is similar to what we've seen from Shane Bieber, is that it feels like he's really dominant or it kind of gets hit up a bit. Like, there's 2 outcomes that could happen tonight. So I wonder what the Dodgers' bats will do tonight. I just feel like at this point, you are having to lay so much juice on the Dodgers in a series that feels very evenly matched. So, Jenks, at what point do you say, hey, there is no value on the Dodgers? Like, maybe you think the Dodgers are going to win, but you say, you're giving me plus 170 on a Blue Jays team that keeps hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, last night, they looked like the better team.
They really did. And I will say this for the Blue Jays, and it's the one thing that we're not giving them credit for, is they fight. They fight. Remember what happened against the Mariners? They had to fight all the way back from being down 0-2 in that series, right? So I know, and I fall into this trap as well. You look at LA and you're like, yeah, but it's the Dodgers. Yeah, but it's the Dodgers. And sometimes you just have to say, quit thinking about the franchise for a second. Yes, they're loaded. Yes, they're the favorites for the reason. But take that away for a second and just look at what the Blue Jays have done during the postseason, and in every circumstance thus far, when they needed to respond, they have responded. So I am definitely not on taking the Dodgers at minus 190. I can find a different way to play this particular game tonight, maybe a different way to play the series. But if you want to put a sprinkle on Toronto at plus 155, then I totally get it.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those value plays. And like, here's the thing in betting, it's number dependent. It's like when you go to a store, and even if you really like something, if it's too expensive, like, you probably shouldn't buy it, right?
Yeah.
Like, if it's overpriced and you're like, hey, I really want a martini, but at this place it's $26. Maybe I should just get a beer. Have you ever been to a nice restaurant and you're like, I'll have a beer instead? Just because the drink prices are just, like, out of this world.
Oh, yeah. They'll have some sort of crazy, I saw, like, a bourbon martini or some sort of concoction at this one place, and it was like $25. Didn't I get here over here? And I was like, hey, do you have tap water instead? Like, right, just... that's a lot. It's a lot, you know.
Do you have a hose?
Do you have a hose? You know, I'm kind of dirty. You just spray me down and I'll just grab some of the droplets out of that hose while we're at it. Like, come on. Especially in D.C. D.C. is terrible at that, by the way. Like, I love the food and drink scene here is amazing, but the drink prices are stupid.
Yeah, so the drink prices are basically what the drink prices are in L.A., where you're paying a lot for the Dodgers and you're paying a premium on a team that looks pretty similar to what you get in Toronto. I don't know. We will see. A lot of it will depend on Blake Snell as well.
What you do is you get yourself a Molson and you put a sprinkle on the Blue Jays. That's what you do. You bring it all together. Coming up next on the show, the Ravens visit the Dolphins tomorrow night, but their biggest opponent this week might just be the commissioner himself. That is coming up next on the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chelsea Messenger, I'm Michael Jenkins. Whole crew is here. Got D-Day, Double D. You shaking your head. That's right. That's right. It's Wednesday. Oh, who's here? Mm-hmm. You asked me during the break, and of course I ran away. You asked me a question. I'm like, yeah, great question. See ya. I'll run away. I needed my coffee. I was not trying to be rude. Sorry about that. But you're asking me about Halloween. Halloween is Friday? Friday? Yeah. Playoffs?
Friday? Zoinks!
Zoinks! That's coming up. We are ready to go. Everything gets in today. And then the craft work begins tomorrow. So Catherine has a lot of work to do. I'm going to go ahead and say it now, what we're going to be for Halloween. Let me ask you first. I asked you, aren't you going to trick or trunk or something?
We have trunk or treats. Oh. We were supposed to have one this past Sunday, but it got rained out because it's trunks of cars. So, like, you walk around the cars. But, like, on Halloween, we do traditional trick or treating around the neighborhood. Then we go to a Halloween party, which, thank God, Halloween is on a Friday this year. So I don't have to leave the party at 8:15. So I actually get to stay. It's going to be nice.
Yeah. What are you again, going to dress up as?
You mean my costume?
Yeah.
I'll probably do something, like, festive, but not a costume. If you understand what I mean. Like,
yeah,
I'll probably wear, like, ears or something.
Okay. Because,
like, Blake never wants to do costumes together. Like, she has her own costume that she's like, I want to be a fairy princess. And, like, Jake doesn't want to dress up. So, like, do I just do a costume by myself? I don't know. It feels weird and, like, self-serving if I, like, showed up in, like, a Catwoman costume and all the other moms are like, what's this girl doing? Who does she think she is? Sydney Sweeney? So I will probably just wear, like, some ears and, like, a sweatshirt. Maybe the one that I got at Lucky Bundle that says, what was it, Bad to the Bone, and it has a bunch of skeletons on it, and
do
I got
that.
It for 10 cents.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'll wear on Halloween.
You're not going to be, like, sexy pumpkin. Like, you know how how girls like to take everything and make it sexy, you know? Mm-hmm. Sexy PDF file. Oh, okay. Not really, but,
I think I'd
know.
Like to see that.
I would, too, actually. Well, look at that. It's a smooth scroll you've got there, PDF. I don't know.
Oh, so here's you're speaking Jenks' language.
Yeah.
That's like the Venn diagram of things you like.
It's actually true. Technology? Come on, a little spice? Now we're talking. What's next? A Word doc? Oh, you got me going. So here's what we're doing. Here in D.C., I don't know if this will speak to you, but I think this is going to be, and I haven't told a lot of people. They asked me in the Commanders pregame show. I'm like, I'm not giving this out. Because Catherine, of course, came up with this idea. It's such a good idea. So here in D.C., the spotted lantern fly is everywhere. You can look this up, but it's a super invasive insect. And the way to rectify this problem is just to kill it. Like, on point, it's like, step on these things, kill them as much as you can. They're everywhere. They will not go away. Like, you can walk down the sidewalk here near your Navy Yard on the sidewalk, and they're just, it's gross. They're dead everywhere all over the sidewalk because they've just invaded this city. So if you live in D.C., you know, like, God, I'm so tired of these insects. So we were thinking about what we wanted to be. We're not going to be 6'7", 6'7", because I feel like a lot of people are going to do that. But Catherine was like, let's be a spotted lantern fly. I'll be a spotted lantern fly, and you'll be a shoe. I'm like, that is such a good idea. Because you can't buy one of these costumes. She's going to make it. So she's awesome at costume design. So she's going to, she bought all the materials, all the wire, the felt, and she was showing me, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to attach it here, do this, make the wings. I'm just wearing, like, a shoe costume, like a moron, like off Amazon. I got the easy part. And so she's going to be the spotted lantern fly, and I'm going to be the shoe. And then we looked up, like, spotted lantern fly guts. So we're going to put, like, splat on me, like, which, you know, nothing gross, but just enough to be like, this is what happens in D.C. all the time. So if you live in D.C., you'll totally get it.
Ah, it's a good geographical one. Yeah. I just looked up the spotted lantern fly. It's actually kind of pretty. Like, it has a lot of cool designs on it.
It does.
Because, like, I thought it was just going to be, like, a weird, like, I don't know, like a brown fly or something.
Right.
But it has all these, like, polka dots and, like, red designs if you, like, open up the wings. So I think it's going to be really cool.
Oh, man. I hope so. She'll nail it. She'll nail it. There's no question. She'll nail it. So I'm looking forward to it. I just got to put on a shoe costume and be like, eh. Hope we win, so we'll give it a shot. Well, Chelsea, I don't know how to transition. Maybe I don't know if they have the spotted lantern fly in Baltimore. It's just up the road, maybe. I'm not sure. But the Ravens are being examined. It sounds like a medical term. They're in the medical room waiting for Roger Goodell to come in. So apparently, according to Yahoo Sports, and we saw this last week, the Ravens reported that Lamar Jackson was a full participant in Friday's practice. We thought he was going to play last week. So it misled the public, misled the Bears who were in town. Chicago thought he was going to play. Then all of a sudden on Saturday, the Ravens said, no, Lamar's limited because he hasn't taken any starters reps. So not only did that throw off preparation potentially for the Bears, we saw the number move as well at BetMGM. So this number had been going between Ravens minus 7.5 and 7. And then by kickoff, it was Ravens minus 2.5 or 2. Because everyone thought Lamar was going to play. So the Ravens won 30-16. They covered regardless with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. But the NFL is going to look into this because potentially this is, whether it was intentional or not, it looks like market manipulation.
Absolutely. And it looks like, you know, an unfair advantage, even if you take the betting situation out of it, where they're manipulating injury reports to fool their opponents, which you're not supposed to be doing. But it does feel like one of those things where I'm not sure if this would be quite as big of a deal if it weren't the current climate that we're in with all of the NBA stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where people are like, well, he was supposed to play. He was a full participant at practice, and now he's not playing? Because normally, if you're a full participant in practice, it means you're going to play. So there's all types of theories being thrown around here. Maybe it's that they wanted some type of advantage of, you know, game planning for against the other team. Maybe it's just a soft tissue injury where you think it's good to go, and then you wake up the next day and it's not. Or I've even seen theories. I think Nick Wright floated this, that the Ravens were trying to pressure Lamar Jackson into playing. And he stopped it, and he was like, no, I'm not 100%. So who knows what's actually going on behind closed doors, but it does feel like somebody needs to do some splaining because clearly the truth was not the main thing that people were talking about. last week. And it's wild because, you know, Coach Harbaugh even talked about this and he kind of sidestepped it. So I don't know who's telling the truth here, but I don't know. There's definitely some murky waters here.
I will say that you're absolutely right. This has everything to do with what's going on in the NBA. You cannot have any sort of inkling or any sort of perception of impropriety, especially now, because everyone is super sensitive as to what's going on. In fact, we saw a reaction to this yesterday with what's going on in the NBA with the gambling charges and the poker charges and the ties to the mafia, where the NCAA is pushing back the decision to let college athletes bet on pro sports. So all of a sudden they realized maybe this isn't the best idea. And that happened right before the whole NBA news broke last week. So everyone is being very sensitive, and rightfully so, about looking at sports and saying, is there something nefarious going on here? Is there something that we don't know about that is affecting the outcome of the games? And so you can't do anything like this if you're an NFL team that might make it seem like you're trying to manipulate the market, because we've already seen that in the NBA, and no other sport wants to touch any of that.
Here's a serious question, and I don't even know the answer to this, so it might be tough for you to answer as well, but do you think the public should know about injury reports? Do you think this should be, like, public information? Like, why does the public need to know? I feel like I've heard people talk about this, and I do think it's kind of interesting. This isn't a thing in college football, right? They don't have to say anything.
No, they don't. It's more of transparency in the NFL more than anything else. Like, this isn't really done for the public. It's done for opposing teams. Like, this is where we are. And frankly, I think it helps generate discussion in the NFL. Like, they don't have to do this, but we're seeing it more and more because betting is involved, because people want to know, because it helps generate attention. Like, if you know someone may or may not play, aren't you a little more fascinated in what might happen in that game? Yeah, of course. So, and I also think that, look, you can't have it both ways. If you're going to allow sports wagering to take place, and we're seeing it across the country more and more, as we know, there's a reason why we've been doing this show, then you're going to have some sort of transparency if you want that to work.
Right. I feel like we've seen this done before, though. Haven't the Niners been bad at this? To the point where, like, their players in the locker room that, like, didn't even know, or they said something after the game where they're like, yeah, he told me I was going to play on Tuesday. And they're like, that's not what he said. Remember that? I think it was Jordan Mason or somebody who got, like, thrown under the bus because I guess the truth slipped out. And I guess Kyle Shanahan was saying one thing to the media and then did one thing on game day.
I mean, sometimes you see this too. It's a fine line as well. Like, there's a difference between gamesmanship and manipulation. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes you see this in college football a lot. Like, we'll see where he is. He's doing okay. You can do that. You know, he's getting better. He's improving. We'll see where we are at the end of the week. That's different than he was a full participant yesterday. Oh, no, he hasn't been working out. You know what I mean? Like, sort of, you know, walking the tightrope between maybe he is, maybe he isn't, is a lot different than being definitive and saying, no, this guy isn't going, and then suddenly flipping it around and saying, yes, he is, or vice versa.
Yeah, and then gaslighting everybody. Like, I think that was the craziest part of, like, John Harbaugh. It's like, he's so flippant about it. He's like, you guys know about injuries? Like, sometimes they're injured, sometimes they're not. You're like, what? Like, I understand it's a soft tissue injury. And here's the other thing that's going to be tough to police is that sometimes with soft tissue injuries, guys can re-injure themselves. So it's the same thing in the NBA when somebody goes down early with an injury and you're like, are they faking an injury to, you know, so their friends can play the under? Sometimes they might actually be hurt.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, it wasn't like Lamar Jackson was not a full participant. Why? I had a poker game. Like, oh my God, no. No. Worst thing ever. So I don't know if this was intentional or not. Sometimes I think there can be a miscommunication as well. I mean, sometimes, you know, between what happens on the practice field and what goes out, there can be, you know, something that just kind of falls between the cracks. It could absolutely be non-related at all to any sort of manipulation. Because, look, when the NCAA said, we're going to let college athletes bet on pro sports, and then less than 24 hours later, the whole NBA story broke. It's not like that was coordinated or anything. It was just a a situation where there was bad timing. So this could be the same thing, is what I'm trying to say. But should the NFL punish the Ravens and say, we're not even going down this road? We're going to put a pin in this, and we're going to stop this before it even gets going. Don't even think about doing anything that makes it look like something is going on here that shouldn't be going on.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but listen, it's the NFL's wheel of punishment where it's like, hey, we're going to fine a guy $35,000 for doing a celebration after a touchdown. And then sometimes they don't punish guys at all for like a terrible like hit on the quarterback if it's a running quarterback. So it's one of those things where like I hate to speculate because I feel like I never know the punishment that the NFL is going to hand down in the wheel of punishment.
You know Roger Goodell. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to be like, whatever. It's an injury report, guys. Injury report comes out every week. Things change. And I love to gamble. I love to gamble. You know? Yeah, and then he'll just go away immediately. You know how the news cycle works? This will be gone tomorrow.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, the NFL is not struggling to keep people as viewers. Like, the difference between this and the NBA is that people already kind of are looking for reasons to not watch the NBA during the regular season. Like, haven't you heard people, anytime I post anything on the NBA, they're like, it's rigged. I'm like, were you watching before? No, it's terrible. I'm like, see, you're not watching anyway. But the NFL could have a scandal like that, and people would still watch it and bet on it. Like, that's the difference between the NFL and the NBA.
My favorite part of the whole NFL, I'm going to watch, I'm not going to watch, is the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. I'm not going to get political here. But my point is, remember how many people were like, I'm not watching the NFL ever again. I'm done.
Right?
Okay.
People did that with Bad Bunny. Like, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. Are you?
Bad Bunny? I'm out on the NFL. I was like, you're back the next week, man. Come on. Come on. You are watching. Their viewership, their money coming in, all-time highs. It's all good for the NFL. And the NFL came out and said, no, we're having Bad Bunny. And what do people say? I'm not watching today. But tomorrow I'm back. But you know what? For the next 8 hours, I'm going to watch something else. I'll stream something. I mean, the NFL. Teflon. Absolute Teflon.
Right.
They're not going to do anything.
It does not matter.
It does not matter. Come next on the show. Quick break for sports, but only so we can visit my streaming corner. That's Jill Semester. I'm Michael Jenkins. It is great to have you with us on a Wednesday. It is a Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Let's do it. The Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in a couple minutes. There's no other corner quite like the streaming corner. Okay. So we were talking about Lamar in the previous segment. And you know the story last week that we discussed where the Ravens took out all the ping pong tables and the video games and the basketball hoop from the locker room. I didn't realize it was Lamar who made that request. At first, we were like, oh, the Ravens. Did you guys talk about this yesterday? Because I missed yesterday. And maybe you did. But at first, we're like, oh, the Ravens are putting down the clamps. It was Lamar who told the equipment manager, get rid of this stuff. It's time to focus. And I have to say, now that I know that Lamar did it, it changes the narrative, right?
I want to be taking one for the team here. Because it does, but I don't know. I don't know if it's the organization like trying to save face and be like, hey, Lamar, can you say that you did this? So like maybe some of the heat is off of us, but maybe he did. I don't know, because he came out and said it in a press conference himself. So who knows? The thing is, nobody believes what the Ravens are saying right now. So who knows? If they're telling the truth about the injury reports, about the ping pong tables, which is more important in my eyes. But we'll see if they get him back. They do play the Dolphins this week. We know Lamar Jackson is a Florida kid, so maybe they will earn them back this week after maybe a big win over the Dolphins.
Are you a big... I'm getting a sense you're a big ping pong person.
Oh, no. I just thought it was the funnier of the two stories.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, like, we, like, ruminated on this for a while. We're like, man, you know, we were being paid for this job, and, you know, this is our career legacy. Yeah. But once they took away the ping pong tables, we knew it was serious business in Baltimore. Yeah. Like, that was the turning point. When the ping pong tables went away, that's when everything changed in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's like the ping pong tables are gone. Oh, man, Harbaugh's going to get fired. That's how you know. The basketball hoop is gone? You can't hoop in the locker room anymore? Oh, my God. The Papa shot? You can't play Papa shot in the Ravens locker room. It's over. It's over. Mm. That's very funny. That's a good point about Lamar maybe taking the L there or taking it for the team. But I kind of believe him. I kind of feel like if you hear and watch Lamar Jackson enough, it's kind of in line with him as a competitor to say, we're not going to do this.
I don't know. Like, maybe it is. But, again, it's just I feel like I don't trust anything the Ravens are saying. So, like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I will say he is the leader of that team.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's one of those guys where we talk about, like, we forget how young somebody is. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson is 28. And it feels like he's been in the NFL for, like, 10 years.
I know.
And he did come to the NFL at a young age. But I do feel like for somebody who is 28 years old, he is very much a leader of that franchise.
1,000%. So we'll see if it helps the Ravens turn things around. It did last week. And they are still the favorites to win the division at minus 125 over the Steelers. We'll talk about NFL coming up here in about 15 minutes when we hand out our first impressions and roses. But first, let's find out what we've been checking out in the past week.
What are you watching?
We enter Jenks Streaming Corner, where Jenks and Chelsea tell you what should and should not be streaming here on the Daily Tip.
What are you watching?
Ah, yes. What are you watching? Already a Wednesday. Happy about that? Chelsea, we watched a movie. We finally got through it. Did we do this on Saturday? I think it was Saturday night. We stayed in. And we watched Weapons. Have you seen this on Netflix? It's a horror movie. Yeah.
Is it the one about, like, the bombs? Where it's, like, the situation with the bombs? No?
It's not. It's about...
Oh.
It's with Julia Garner from Ozark and Josh Brolin. No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
And so it's about a bunch of kids who disappear at the same time in the middle of the night from the same classroom, and only one kid remains. And so the entire community is trying to figure out what the hell happened. Why was this kid spared, and what happened to the rest of the kids? And the teacher of those kids is the role played by Julia Garner. And I have to say, we didn't like it. And the reviews are really good. Like, oh, this is suspenseful. It's a thriller. Now, the cinematography is good. The acting is great. But I was waiting for them to tie this together and say, okay, here's this common thread. Here's what makes sense in the end. And then it ended. You've had that happen before, right? The movie ends and you're like, oh, all right. I guess so. So people loved it. It's a horror movie, but I thought it was kind of dumb. So I am not recommending Weapons.
I thought you were talking about another movie that Jake was telling me about. And normally I feel like you guys always watch like the top 10 movies.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this is maybe it's not number one anymore. But it's a movie and I've seen previews for it. The House of Dynamite. Have you heard of that?
No.
Where it's like, I think what the U.S. would do in like a nuclear bomb situation. So like, okay. I ain't watching this because that sounds scary and too realistic. But Jake watched it and he said the ending was like one of those where you're like left shaking your head. You're like, what? So maybe don't watch that either. But like, I'm not gonna. It's the week of Halloween, Jinx. I feel like you have to get in the spirit of Halloween. So like, I'm not a big scary movie person, but I do like Halloween like tangent movies that aren't as scary. So I will be watching Hubie Halloween with Adam Sandler, which is very stupid, but like, it's an Adam Sandler movie. Like, what? Hubie Halloween?
I've never seen it.
With Julie Bowen.
Okay.
You gotta watch it.
Okay.
Like, if you like Adam Sandler, like, you will like it. It's very stupid humor, but it's a Halloween movie that like you can watch and you're not gonna be scared. It'll get you in the Halloween spirit.
Okay. Hubie Halloween, huh? Okay. That's good. All right.
It's relatively new, too, so it's not like dated.
I started to say, like, I know pretty much. Oh, God. Sorry. I was like, I know pretty much every Adam Sandler movie, and I don't remember it, so it has to be new. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a Halloween movie. So, like, this is the time to watch it.
Yeah.
I feel like there's not that many. Well, I was going to say, there's not that many Halloween movies. There's a ton of them, but they're all scary. So, like, there's not that many Halloween movies that aren't, like, bone-chilling to me. So, like, those are the movies I'm looking for. I'm looking for Hocus Pocus. I'll watch Hocus Pocus 2. Practical Magic, I've already watched. Hubie Halloween and Scary Movie. I think Scary Movie might be, like, one of my favorite Halloween movies of all time. Just because, like, that's what I want. Like, I want to laugh a little bit. Like, it's in the mood of Halloween. But I also love Anna Faris. I think she is so funny.
Oh, I like her a lot. Max says he's going to watch Halloween Town. Have you seen Halloween Town? I have not.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is it?
That one's so old, it's kind of cheesy, though. Like, do you ever watch... I don't think you watch a lot of kids' movies.
I do.
Which would be creepy.
It's all I watch,
but
honestly. It's the only thing I watch. I don't have kids, but man, do I love a good kids' movie. No, I rarely
watch them.
Yeah,
that would be weird.
That would be weird.
But even, like, this happens with, like, older movies that you remember being really good, but then you watch them 20 years later, and you're like, this is really dated. And it, like, kind of distracts you, because, like, the quality is really bad, and, like, some of the jokes are, like, dated. And I don't know. It just sometimes the plot lacks. So, like, that's how I feel about Halloween Town. It's one of those, like, nostalgia watches.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you have to watch knowing that it's going to be a little cringe.
Oh, I love sometimes just they look so campy or sound so campy. My favorite movie that just aged so terribly is The Net with Sandra Bullock, because it's the early, early stages of the internet. And you go back now, and all this stuff just seems so obvious. But, you know, she's saying things like, let me log onto the information superhighway. And you're like, what? Are you talking? You know? And the screens, of course, look terrible. You're like, what is this? And someone will say, what are you doing? I'm going into a chat room. What's a chat room? You know, like, it's just so archaic that it's actually a good movie. The suspense is really good. But you do something that's that technology-based so early, it's just naturally within a few years not going to age well. It's so funny, though.
I think you've talked about that before.
I have.
And we've had some laughs. But, like, think about that. Like, the premise of the movie you knew would be dated. Like, any of the, like, futuristic movies... And it's funny how, like, even in some of these movies, like, from, like, 30 years ago, they're like, the year is 2021. And, like, all of these things. And it's just, like, things haven't changed that much. Like, now we have better memes on the internet, and we can use AI to make Stephen Hawking do whatever we want. But as far as flying cars, we're still not to that level, and we still don't have, like, interchangeable faces.
Right.
Or, like, stuff from, like, Minority Report, where you're like, we know he's going to commit a crime before he does it. Yeah, we can't even figure out who's actually committing crimes, even with all kinds of surveillance.
That's true. That's so on point, though. It's 2021. Half of Earth's population has moved to Mars. Like, nope. Nope. But if you want to watch Stephen Hawking skateboard on TikTok, you can do that.
I will.
We got that. Okay. So we're trying. We're not quite there yet. Yeah. I always find that fascinating when someone makes a movie. And songs will do this too, you know, where there will be a song that is mentioned. And like one of my favorite songs is a country song and from Steve Warner back in the day. But it talks about using a payphone. And today, I mean, it's still a wonderful song, but it doesn't really hold up because no one's using a payphone to call home.
Yeah, even though didn't Lady Gaga have like a Was it just telephone?
Telephone.
Or was it payphone?
It was telephone.
Lady Gaga and Beyonce were telephone. Maroon 5 was payphone.
Oh, look at that.
Oh.
Didn't 4-0 this week. Well done.
Crushing
can't,
it.
Can't lose. Cannot lose.
That song was not that long ago. Like the payphone, Maroon 5 one. I'm at a payphone. Like, that's super dated. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why he was at a payphone. It reminds me of, isn't there a movie with, is it Keanu Reeves that's at a payphone? Or is
I think
it,
it's Colin Farrell.
Maybe it's Colin Farrell. Yeah.
Is that right?
And I'm like, what a dumb premise for a movie where he's literally just standing at a payphone the entire time.
Oh, imagine.
Cheap movie to make.
The cell for
I
that.
Suppose.
Here's the set. Like, what are you talking about? This is it. You're going to spend the entire movie just in this phone booth. Oh, okay. I guess. I'll do it. Done. When's the last time you saw a payphone? Been a while. Been a long time. Come up next here on the show. Look at all of these handsome teams. Oh, yeah. We're going to hand out our first impression roses in the NFL this week. Week 9 of the National Football League. Hard to believe that's coming up next on Hour 2 of the Daily Tip. It is here on the BetMGM Network. Come on back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.